Start this over?
No, it's okay.
I just, is this still going?
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Oh, you bet, I can do that. Yeah, no problem. It's good to see all you, y'all this morning. So Shanda's job situation and anything else that we need to pray for? Okay, let's go to prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we just give thanks and glory to you and all that you do for us. Father, we just ask that this time as we take this time to study from your word that our hearts will be open and our minds will be opened up and that we can apply some of this in our lives. Father, through all this, our ultimate goal, Father, is to save souls and to teach others about you. And be with us as we do that. And just, we ask for opportunities that throughout the week that we may have and people that we're around that we can be that influence, the good influence, but also just to also show them the truth. Right now, we just bring before you Shanda and her job situation and just watch over her and her husband as they are searching for work and just continue to bless them. We thank you for your son and what he means to us, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. So how's the, have you guys been working on your action points, and how about praying for opportunities to share with others the word? Been working on the 10 people, or 10 people that, did you guys write down anybody yet? That was from way back in week two or second week that we should be praying for. And also an opportunity to share the word with them. We're starting chapter 7 today. Chapter 7. Did everybody read through chapter 7? We're going to try to get through chapter 8 as well. Did everybody read chapter 7? If you're wondering what's going on, I know Tyler's parents are here. Bonnie's parents are here. We've been reading Muscle and a Shovel. Have you read that? Nope. So hopefully you're not bored today with the class, but we'll make it through. But it's a real good book. That's what we're working on. So did anybody leave a book up front? There's a book with a bookmarker in it. Got left? Not all. We'll find out. Okay, chapter 7. We're going to go over some of these discussion questions here and for chapter 7, kind of refresh our minds a little bit at the beginning of chapter 7. Mike talked about how he was raised. Do you guys remember that? How Mike was raised?
Baptist.
And what's that?
Baptist.
Well, he was raised Baptist, but in his life, he was adopted at birth, he said. And he said it was a loving family. It was a blue-collar family he came from. But and his dad was an over-the-road trucker, he said. And his dad was gone 6 days of the week. So he'd get to see him one day a week. I believe it was on Sundays. It's the only day a week he could see his mom, or his dad. His mom was an LPN. And during his seventh grade year, his mom developed it was called septicemia. Do you guys know what septicemia? I believe I'm pronouncing that right. Say that again?
Septicemia.
That's what it is. It's a blood infection, correct? So his mom received that or got that when he was in seventh grade, and she about died. So he took care of his mom. So if you can picture in your mind a 12-year-old taking care of his mom while his dad was driving over the road just to pay the bills. And so he was doing a lot of the cooking, and he said he was doing a lot of the cleaning. You guys remember that? And always checking his mom's blood pressure four to six times a day, he mentioned. And then he would set up her meds and stuff for her. So by the age of 16, he also mentioned he began to take care of all the family cars, the shopping, and he picked up his mom's medicine also, because he had his driver's license by then. And then Mike also felt through all of this, it gave him an aggressive nature, just because of his circumstances. He was kind of an aggressive guy, he said. So this leads us into our first question, discussion question today. First question is, why was Mike motivated to pick up these tracks? Remember these tracks like we have in the back? He was motivated. Mike's job was to, he worked on printers, this copying company. And so he'd go into different churches, denominations, and work on these. And his something motivated him to want to pick these tracks up in different denominations, and he started reading them. You guys remember what caused him to do that, Dave?
Well, back in chapter 6, when he was talking about the bumper sticker he saw that says, you know, attend the church of your choice, it started asking questions like, well, isn't there just one God, and isn't there just one Bible, and isn't there just one Jesus? So is there just one correct teaching? Which led him to the thought that, well, you know, a lot of denominations, you know, most denominations teach conflicting things, so they can't all be right. So who's right? So he was interested in what does this group say, what does that group say, what foundation do they use for their beliefs?
Okay. I think Mike was probably out to defend what he believed. Because Randall, remember what Randall said back in chapter 6? Well, remember what he was asking Randall. What was he asking Randall back in chapter 6? Do you remember?
Am I going to go to hell?
Yeah. Well, he said, are you guys the only church that's not going to hell? Or something on that order. Exact words. But are we going to hell? Because we go to this denomination. And so what was Randall's response? Do you guys remember that? Anybody?
Well, at first he said, if you're not a member of the church that Christ shed his blood for, you're in no way going to go to heaven. You're going to go to eternal destruction.
I think that was the last thing he said of the three. I think the first one he said was, I'm not the judge.
That's true.
In the situation.
Yeah.
But yes, he did say that. Yep. I'm not the judge. And I don't make the final decision on that. So with that in mind, I mean, this is what's forcing Mike at this point in the book, in his life. He's saying, hey, I'm going to defend what I believe here. I'm going to start pulling all these tracks out wherever he went. And it caused him to do a lot of reading, too. But it was Randall's opinion that Mike was kind of heading that the wrong direction that caused him to do that. Number two, what effect did these tracks or picking up these tracks have on Mike? What effect did it do to him? Page 55 in the book, it says, it also said it caused him to become a reading machine, is what it caused him to do. He was asking questions, he was studying. Remember, he started studying the Bible more. He was studying with his wife. It caused a lot more study. So you can see where Randall, just some of the stuff that Randall had said, just caused him to start studying and thinking about the direction he was going. We can do that in our life too. We may not see it happen, but it may be going on. Number three, what conclusion did he draw from reading the myriad of tracts he collected? Do you remember all the tracts he collected? What did he conclude? Does anybody remember that? No?
Well, he concluded that there was a lot of opinion and not very much scripture in most of the denominational tracts.
Yeah. Yeah.
They had some scripture.
Okay. His wife mentioned, I think it was his wife that said it. Maybe I'm wrong there. Correct correct me if I'm wrong, but I think his wife said, regarding, there's three things we're limited to. Three things that we're limited to in spiritual decisions. Regarding spiritual decisions, I wrote them down here. Bible, opinions, and denominational teaching. There's three things that they were limited to, and it made a lot of sense to him. And that's kind of what the answer to the question was. Yeah, he came to that conclusion at the end, towards the end there. He said, hey, it's the Bible, someone's opinion. We all have opinions. And denominational teachings. So three things that we were limited to. Okay. Any other comments on that? We're kind of moving through 7. 8 we're going to get slowed up on. I just know it. A little more discussion on that one. Number 4, what excellent point did Janetta bring up regarding spiritual decisions? We just mentioned that. It was the Bible. Bible opinion and denominational teachings. That was the next question. Let's jump back here. I skipped over something. Back on number 3, I was wrong. What was the conclusion that he drew from this? Actually, his conclusion he drew from this is the only denomination. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. The only denomination seemed to be able to turn. He called the church the denomination. Remember that. To turn to was Randall's denomination. He said we always had the book. He always had the book, chapter, and verse. He always had an answer for everything. So we can see the importance of studying. So it just shows others that if you can come up with the answers, pretty well rounded. All right. What elementary question did Janetta bring up? Do you remember the elementary question she brought up? Where did the Baptist Church come from? That was a good question. Where did the Baptist Church come from? Does anybody know? I can give you guys that handout. I was a Baptist. I was raised Baptist. I didn't know where
she
it came from.
She said John the Baptist.
She said, who said John the Baptist?
John Eda.
Yeah, Janita said John the Baptist. Okay. Dave?
Their preacher or their pastor, when they went and talked to him, he said that. That's what he said.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably the outgrowth of the teachings of John Calvin in the 1560s.
Okay.
That was the preacher.
And I think as we go into chapter 8, we'll go into that here in a minute. They went after church one day and found the Baptist preacher and asked them where that came from. We'll talk about that here in just a bit. So they want to know where the Baptist church came from. Where did the church come from? Where do we read? Acts 20:28. How was the church started? What did Christ purchase the church with?
His blood.
His blood. John the Baptist didn't give his blood up for the church. Christ gave his blood up for the church. How does the knowledge of denominations help us to offer the effort? I'm sorry, how does the knowledge of denominations help us in our effort to seek and save the lost? Knowing what the other denominations out there are teaching, how does this help us? In your opinion, no right or wrong answer. Obviously, it equips us a little bit. Dave, go ahead.
I understand where somebody's coming from. A lot of times you can help guide them. I mean, that's what Philip did with the eunuch. He started right where the guy was asking questions, right where his point of knowledge was. It started from that point. You start where somebody is.
Okay.
I mean, by understanding what someone's faith group teaches, you can kind of start where they are.
Okay. All right. Yeah. For this, for me, seeing this, because like I said, I came from a Baptist background, so it fits right in. I understand. My parents are still Baptist, so I know how to go in with the kid gloves a little bit, although I've taken a good swing every now and then. Ed asked me over the week when I was out there, he said, did you leave that book, Muscle and Shovel, for your dad to read? I said, no, man, I needed a place to sleep while I was out there. I wasn't going to do that. I would have got booted, but nah. So, yeah, you know, we all know somebody who's in a different denomination that we know they're teaching. So, Virgil.
Well, you know, sometimes if you go online or wherever you go to get your information about denominationalism in different churches, you can't be sure that the person that you're wanting to bring to Christ sometimes they don't. It's hard. You don't want to prejudge people. Like Randall said, let's go to the book. He was very hesitant to give an opinion about the soul. Or was that Michael? Randall, I guess.
It was Randall, yeah.
And he said, we need to see what God has to say about it. Yeah. Well, that's very important in studying with somebody.
Yeah, sometimes even that, saying, hey, let's see what the scripture says. I've found out, my own family sometimes, you can see it and they just won't, they'll just ignore it. It doesn't matter. We've been doing this all of our life. This is the way the church has been going. We're going to keep doing it. So sometimes it's hard, but we have to, what else do you do? Okay, well, just to wrap up that, I guess I didn't. I wrote down equipping us with historical facts that can be used in teaching God's word, learning about these other denominations, so we can learn about them.
I think
teach your word. Go ahead.
You know, a lot of people. Now this is just a lot of people. A Baptist probably doesn't know where the Baptist church started either.
Right.
We need to start with scripture and you know, let's talk about what we're discussing here and get on an even keel with what the Bible says instead of what was happened in 1500.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think there's not too many people knows what happened in 1500.
Right.
So as far as you need to find what level playing ground and then be able to go from there. As far as, you know, like Virgil just said, you believe that Jesus died for the remission of our sins. Yeah, well, that's a good, let's talk.
Let's build from there.
That, you know, I mean,
let's build on that.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay. In the beginning of the book, I know you haven't read it, but in the beginning of the book, Randall was very good about how he handled the situation. What he did was, rather than going and showing facts, he would ask questions to him.
Sure.
You know, kind of soften it up a little bit. Make him feel like he was kind of in control of the situation. Mike feel like he was in control. It didn't put him in a threat field. So, okay. Any other good comments? Chapter 8, Jen. On to chapter 8. Probably get tied up in this one a little bit. This one probably have a little more discussion on this chapter. Chapter 8. You guys have your cards with you? You guys don't have to write it down now. The paper that I handed you, look at the very top on your action points. You'll see all those scriptures, 5 of them. 5 more to start memorizing. 5 more to start memorizing. This is a college level course here, Verge. This isn't kindergarten.
Maybe 1 every 2 weeks, but 4 or 5 a week, you lost.
I'm pushing it now. Huh? Yeah, and this is free. This doesn't cost you. There's no tuition in this. So, college level. No, I'm glad everybody's here. We're having a lot of fun discussion, good discussion points and stuff. All right, so let's start in chapter 8 here. You guys remember chapter 8? Think back about chapter 8 a little bit. What was Mike's allegation regarding the motivation of today's contemporary churches? Contemporary churches. What was his allegation regarding the motivation? What was their motivation? What's that?
It's all about the money.
All about the money. Okay. He said in the bottom of page 61, let me read that here. Listen to what he had to say here. It was becoming apparent that the churches were not immune to materialism, greed, or covetousness. Wasn't a big, lavish, expensive church building a display of unchristian opulence? Weren't bigger church buildings designed to appeal to the lust of the eye and to impress those with money? Weren't they designed to lure people? That was kind of his opinion there at the end of, or at the beginning of chapter 8. So he's seeing that there's a lot of money, greed, and power involved in some of the churches, denominations, so to speak. And we're going to talk about that later. What about the Church of Christ? So, number two, according to the LBA, that's the London Baptist Association, there are currently 297 different Baptist sects around the globe. With this in mind, is it understandable that not all Baptists believe that John the Baptizer started the denomination? Question, do you guys have any Baptist friends? Family? Have you ever asked them the origin or particular Baptist sect where it came from? I did one with my dad. I did. It's been a few years back, but he says, well, it came from John the Baptist, but we also baptized too. That's what he told me. So I don't know if they really know why or where they came from. So, and the funny thing is they don't baptize anymore, so that all stopped a few years back. So any other comments? Would this be important asking them? Would this be important asking them, asking an important question to your Baptist friends or family? Would you ask them that? You think it's important to ask them that question? That, kind of a dumb question, I think, in there they asked. But Linda?
Well, I've got a sister and her husband that goes to the Baptist church. And they've got a woman that teaches the class. I would not go.
Okay.
I wouldn't.
Okay.
I wouldn't go and listen to that woman teach the class because it's not right.
Okay.
Not when there's men and women in the class.
They take communion once a quarter.
Yeah. 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 Okay. In your opinion, do you see any Christian, hopefully I'm pronouncing this right, opulence within today's Church of Christ buildings or meeting places? You know what opulence is? What is opulence?
Bright, shiny.
Bright, shiny, flashy, wealthy. Riches. Do we see that?
Everywhere.
Within the church?
Oh, in the church.
Within the church? Sometimes. I'd say sometimes, yeah. Who said that? Dave? Okay.
I think if you compare churches in this country to congregations in virtually any other country, you'd be stunned at what we put into our facilities and such. It's really, you know, and we're not over the top by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. Debbie was just saying that, you know, compared to the rest of the world, you know, we probably look that way. I mean, I can feel the air conditioning working right over here. It's blowing on me. It's pretty cold. It feels chilly. Is you guys cold right here? But, you know, there's a big monitor here. I mean, we can lower the screen down, watch stuff up here. What does the rest of the world look at us like? Makes us wonder. Yes.
I think that, you know, comparatively, the churches of Christ are not as opulent as, you know, like a lot of times you go to the Catholic churches, there's gold everywhere. And mm-hmm. I especially noticed it when I was over in Europe, all the gold that was in the
what too with denominations, and it's a lack of understanding, obviously teaching, just Bible knowledge. They take this as the temple. They look at this building, these four walls, as it's more holy in here than it is in anywhere else. That goes on in the Baptist church as well. They actually call it a sanctuary. Well, what do we call this? Just the auditorium. We have a roof on our heads. We meet in here. But it's looked at as a little more, how should I say it? What would be a good word? Sacred, maybe? Would that be a good word? A little more sacred. That's where God dwells. That's his house. And when we know it's here, right? Within us. The temple is our body. That doesn't mean you can't. What are you laughing at over there?
I'll tell you if you want me to.
Okay, go ahead, Debbie. Tell us.
Well, we went to Catalina Island earlier this year.
You went to where?
Catalina Island.
Catalina Island. Where's that?
It's off the coast of California.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And one of the things that they had was the tour of the casino.
The tour of the casino?
When I say the word casino, what do you all think? You all think
slot machines. Yeah.
Well, whatever. But that's not what the word casino means. Because the word casino means gathering place. This was actually just a huge, rotunda, beautiful building that they used to have. You know, they still do for that matter. They have concerts and parties and all sorts. It was built as a gathering place. Las Vegas actually stole the word casino. So when you were talking about what the name, we could name this casino. It's a gathering place.
Now, you know what? I tell you what.
We get a lot more people to come.
Windsor has a casino. And it's at the Church of Christ building, too. Boy, we'd have a line of people out there. Just think of the giving. The giving would go up through the roof, right?
That's what I was talking about.
That is funny, though. So the point is that I was trying to make is that, yeah, it's looked at. We have to think from the way they look at it is, you know, they think that this is the temple. This is God's house right here. That's their thinking. It's obviously lack of Bible knowledge. And I'm not trying to degrade them and make them look dumb or anything or stupid, but Debbie?
Well, and how many other people have you talked to that, well, I have to go to church, I need to pray. I need to go into the chapel,
yeah.
I need to pray. They don't think they can talk to God anywhere else. I mean, you know, and I'm not slamming them having a facility, but look how many hospitals have chapels.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of prayer that's got to go on in those hospital rooms.
Yeah.
But they provide the chapel.
Yeah.
And
having a chapel, I wouldn't say it's a bad thing. I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing. But, yeah. So. Okay, any other comments? We're getting into some scripture here shortly, so. A lot of this is just...
When we talk about opulence and big and fancy and gold and polish and attractive presence, I think we have to be careful to distinguish between big and fancy and functional.
Yep.
If you've got a large congregation, as there are many to the south and east of here that are 2,000-3,000 people, you know, it takes a certain amount of space just to provide classrooms and facilities to accommodate that number. So we have to be a little bit careful about equating big with bad or opulent.
There's a difference between
facilities functioning and putting a lot of gold plating and polish on.
Yep, I agree. That's where the key is. It's the gold plate, the polish, the flashy.
What's,
I think John said flashy.
To the world by the world standards is not what we're about.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Troy.
I think if you'd read bottom of 62 and the first part of 63, he says, "Hey, Mr. Rolex wearing, Mercedes driving, slick ticking talking pastor, you won't make merchandise of me any longer." He was mad.
Yeah. Well, that's why I think what it's saying in the beginning, East, the beginning of the chapter, it was called Enough to Make You Cuss. And so he was mad. He was upset about that.
Well, he had asked John Eda, how much did she give him? $90.
Yeah, yeah.
That just blew his mind.
Yep, yep. Okay. In your opinion, what effect does this have on the body? The flashy stuff. This is just your opinion. Your opinion. Does this have an effect on the body of the church?
I mean, it shouldn't. A lot of people think that it does. I mean, so many people will tell you that, you know, well, I don't think that's right. You built a great big church. You have all this fancy stuff, this, that, and the other. And a lot of it just comes down to jealousy. People are jealous because they don't have certain things. Well, work harder. I mean, this guy who's got the Rolex watch, hopefully he did the right thing, worked hard, and, you know, because the church still gives back and still has it.
Okay.
Shouldn't change your opinion about him.
Okay. What effect would this have on the sinner that walked through, the unbeliever, the big fancy gold-plated, flashy type of situation here? What effect would that have, in your opinion?
Want to hear a little story?
I would love to hear a little story.
Once upon a time, a lot of us, not a lot of us, but some of us went to Tucson City, Arizona to help them work on the church building. And it was kind of way over elaborate for the area. This is a Navajo community. The Church of Christ that had been meeting there had two mobile homes. One they had gutted and used for auditorium, and the one next door to it was their classrooms. Well, they had quite a lot of community interest in that. Well, then California churches, Loveland Church, we donated money and time and effort to build them a very elaborate church building. And last I heard, that hadn't caught on yet. The people in the area preferred the mobile home situation. It was more like the town, more like the community. The building we built wasn't opulent, but it was nice. It was big. It seated 250 people.
And it just didn't help bring anybody in.
They were 30 or 40 in number.
Okay.
So I think you can overdo. Structure.
Okay. Okay.
I hate to use the word marketing, but you have to deal with people where they're at in their environment, like Rachel says. You have to kind of fit into the surroundings a little bit, whether we like to admit it or not. In some ways, we have to conform to culture to
okay.
be effective.
Okay.
I hope that was not misunderstood.
No. Do you guys understand that? Could you guys hear that? So Windsor, I think I've heard, Windsor has the highest income in the county, right, per capita. So that means can we build a real big, nice, flashy building? Where's our elders at? Where are they at? I got a thumbs down. Lee gave me a thumbs down on that one. Go ahead.
Another thought, I was raised in a Episcopal church. And you know, they were not as quite as overdone as some of the Catholic churches that you see. But they were pretty fancy about it.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I think happens is some of these groups use that to kind of say to their attendees, parishioners, whatever, that, you know, this is what heaven's going to be like. You know, and I think we need to be careful when we talk to them singing songs about streets paved with gold and that kind of stuff, because we throw that out there. And there's some people that, you know, if that's their vision of heaven, they're going to go somewhere and worship where they think they can feel like they're,
yeah.
you know, getting
okay.
a little peace in heaven. And I think we need to be a little careful about that. I remember the first time I walked into a Church of Christ building, and I'll be honest with you, I wondered what was wrong.
Yeah.
You know? It was like, well, what's the matter with these people? They got nothing here.
Actually, I kind of felt the same way when Stacy took me in Fort Morgan. You know, it was kind of how should I say, plain, plain.
Real plain.
Yeah, very, I'll be honest, it was real plain, yeah. Yeah, but there was a different feel there I had with the people there than I had at the Baptist church. And I don't want you guys to misunderstand me when I'm saying here. I don't want you guys to think I'm standing up here bashing them, because there are some very good people in the Baptist church. Very good people. People that, since I was a kid, I actually had an older couple. I actually considered them my grandparents. We were so close to them. And they were good influences. The sad thing is they're just missing the truth. But they're very good people there. And that's the same with every denomination. We have to keep that in our minds as we are studying with people who are from denominations. We can't come across as, hey, we've got it figured out and you don't. That's where the turnoff begins. So, but yes. Any other comments? We'll keep moving here. I got 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Okay. Everybody, I'm going to ask a few people to read. A few people read for me. Somebody open up Mark chapter 10, 24. This is going to be your memory. These are the memory verses this week as well. Virgil, there's 5 of them, buddy. 5 verses. I know it's going to be tough.
You know what I promise? I'll read them.
Mark chapter 10, 24. I need somebody to catch. Luke 12:33. Luke 18:25. Acts. Somebody want to catch Acts 2:44 and 45. 2 verses there. And James 1:11. Who got Mark 10:24? Alan, go ahead.
The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God."
Okay. Who's got the next one? 12:33. Luke 12:33.
"Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags, which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches, nor moth destroys."
Okay. I want to read that one again. That one jumped out here to me. I'll read it so everybody in the back can hear it. Luke 12:33. I'm going to read that one more time. "Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves purses which do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys." Sell your possessions to give to charity and make for yourselves purses which do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven. Where's our treasure supposed to be?
In heaven.
In heaven. Okay, who's got Acts 2, 44 and 45?
It says 45 and
55. Yep, no, it's 44 through 45. That was a misprint. I saw that too. 2:44 through 45. Who has it? Anybody? And I can read it. Nobody's going to read it. I'll read it. "And all those who had believed were gathered together and had all things in common." Who were those who believed? It was the church, right? "And they began selling their property and possessions, and they were sharing them with all as anyone might have need." What were they doing with their possessions? Putting it into the church building. They were putting it in the church building? What were they doing with their possessions? And their money? Sharing with those who were in need. James 1:11. Somebody read James 1:11. were the primary uses? What were the primary uses of the Christians? The contribution when we read here in the New Testament, what did they do?
Helping people.
Who said that? Troy, you're hiding back there. What'd you say?
Helping people.
They helped others. They helped people. Look at Acts 4:34 real quick. 4:34. I'm sorry. What did I say? 4:34. Oops, I'm James. I'm sorry. Acts 4:34. I gotta hurry up here. We're running out of time. Acts 4:34 says, "For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales." Who was them? For there was not a needy person among them. Who was them? Ed knows. Who was them? Ed's better wanting to say something. I know he is. The church, people, the body of believers. They helped each other out. They took care of each other. So,
could this be an example of sacrificial giving?
Pardon that?
Could this be an application of sacrificial
could be.
Giving?
Yep.
You know, if you've got a $500,000 house and you can live comfortably in a $250,000 house,
yep.
That cuts your mortgage payment in half.
That'd be smart.
Have you really suffered in your physical comfort? Probably not. But yep. You freed up some funds that can be used at your discretion. What will your discretion use them for?
It's true. Now, we have to end, and I really didn't want it to end right now, but we have to. But with that in mind, we'll pick up next week, and we're going to talk about kind of going a little bit towards the ones who don't want to work. Towards the ones who don't want to work. That's the tough part. That's where it gets a little bit hairy. So, all right, thanks for coming. We'll keep going next week.